Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast and this 30-part series on Blue Collar Leadership and Supervision, Unleash Your Team's Potential. So again, this 30-part episode is based on my book by that title, and it's for anyone who's already a formal authority leader at any level. You might be a team leader, you might be a supervisor, you might be a manager, a superintendent, a foreman, a vice president, a president, a business owner, CEO. It doesn't matter. These principles are timeless, tested, and they apply to everyone. So that's what we're talking about. Today we're on part 10 of 30, which is actually chapter 10 from the book. And again, this is your first episode. I highly encourage you to go to bluecollarleadership.com and check out the Developing Leaders program, which is kind of based on this book. And there's lots of other stuff, but don't wait for this entire series to go out. If you're interested in this stuff, go invest a little few dollars, $18 in yourself, or maybe your company will invest it for you. But $18 is nothing compared to the nuggets you'll mine out of there. What you'll find in that book comes from thousands and thousands of hours of me studying and applying this stuff in my personal life and my professional life. So I've done a whole lot of homework for you, and so you can go pull out the nuggets. So, but I'm sharing them with you here on the podcast. You don't have to spend any money. You can go back and listen. This is the 121st episode, so there's plenty of hours back there for you to listen to. You go to, if you're not on LinkedIn, go back a little ways, find that LinkedIn episode where I ask, are you on LinkedIn? You need to listen to that. You need to be on LinkedIn. You need to be making it happen and be out there and be visible to the world. So today, chapter 10 is Walk the Talk. Trust is a leader's best friend. Trust is a leader's best friend. Because trust is the foundation of leadership. And then again, I define leadership as I learned from John Maxwell. When I first heard it, it stuck, and I believe it. And he defines leadership simply as influence. He says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So the reason trust is a leader's best friend, and really we're talking a high-impact leader, because high-impact leaders lead with authentic influence based on who they are and why they do what they do, their character, not on what they are. So trust is the foundation of authentic influence. If there's no trust, I promise you there's going to be no authentic influence. Only thing that leader is going to have is what comes with their position. And I talked about that a few episodes back, but it really applies to help you understand why this episode is so important. Stephen M. R. Covey, who is the son of Stephen R. Covey, if you know me at all, you know I love The 7 Habits, my favorite book of all time. That was written by the father, Stephen R. Covey. So this quote is from Stephen M. R. Covey, and he actually wrote my third favorite book of all time, which is The Speed of Trust, and I'm sure that's where this quote comes from. Actually, I believe it's on the cover. I don't have it with me here to see today, but I think that's where it comes from, maybe the subtitle. But Stephen M. R. Covey says, trust is the one thing that changes everything. And that's why a leader who builds trust with his team, his or her team, can go so far beyond what's required in his role or her role and relative even to the mission. A leader with trust is going to go to an entirely different level and beyond. The more trust you have, the more influence you will have. It's really that simple. And again, I write about and talk about trust and character real deep in my book, Defining Influence. And that book is, I teach the, you know, trust is the foundation of leadership or influence, whichever word you want to use. They mean the same thing to me. But in that book, I really talk about intention is the foundation of trust. How do we build trust? Well, our intention's got to be right. And the thing about it is other people decide what our intention is. We try to align our intention with what results we want to achieve, but based on how we make others feel, they decide, are we trying to motivate them or manipulate them? And that's what I'm talking about when I say intention is the foundation of trust. If I'm trying to manipulate you, you decide if you feel manipulated, not me, right? So if I'm trying to manipulate you, we're never going to get beyond that. Never going to be an opportunity to build trust. There's only going to be distrust. Manipulation is the only my benefit. Motivation is mutual benefit. So the more influence you have, the greater the impact you will also have. That's why as a leader, definitely with your team, but in life in general, your goal needs to be to build the most trust with the most people that you possibly can. And obviously you got to align that mission with your values. And if you want to get to another level, you may have to shift and change your values. And the reason I say that is there's some bad people with bad values. If you want to build trust with them, guess which direction your values have to go? The wrong way. And if you're like me, I ain't going backwards. I'm going forward. So there's some people I'm not going to have trust with. I'm not going to trust them, and they're not going to trust me. And that's the way life is. But relative to those people on your team and your mission, your vision for your organization, you got to be growing, building, and developing trust. And sometimes that may mean getting rid of a team member who's toxic to the team. I'll tell you what, if there's a leader out there, and you already know this, if there's a leader with a toxic person on their team, the other team members already know that leader should be getting rid of that person, but they're not. So the leader is losing integrity with the team because they allow the toxic person to remain on the team. And when I say get rid of them, it doesn't mean you have to literally fire them. You could get rid of them by growing and developing them. Get rid of the toxic person and transform them into a proactive, value-driven, high-impact team player. But that takes a lot of leadership on your part to do that. But you could do that. But then again, some people, even when you try to do that, you do all the right stuff. They don't want to come along. Well, now you really got to change them. You can't transform them. You can change them, meaning exchange them for someone else. And that's what people are waiting on for their leader. They're waiting on the leader to lead. So the greater the impact, the greater the leader. So think about this. With trust, everything is possible. Without trust, everything is questioned. When there's high trust, people, team members, they're just making things happen. They're focused on accomplishing the mission. But when there's no trust or very little trust, everything is questioned in both directions. Leaders questioning the team's questioning the leader, the team's questioning each other. It's just a triangle of junk going around. And again, if you want to be a high impact leader, you've got to grow and develop team members who build trust with each other, build trust with you, and also they're building 360 degrees of influence. Even if nobody reports to them, that's what's unique about what I do is my other book, Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines. That book is purely to develop frontline entry-level people, seeing them as leaders. You're going to hear me talk a lot about that if you listen to all these episodes because you need to know the value that's in that book. You're going to learn a lot from that book. And you need to, but one important thing you absolutely need to do is know the value that's in that book for growing and developing frontline entry-level people. Those people typically make up the masses of the employees in an organization. Think about it. If your leader invests in developing you, does that build trust or distrust? Answer is obvious. It's the same thing with your team. If you're growing and developing them, and that little book is a great resource for it, then you're building trust. They think you care about them at a higher level than just being the boss. And a lot of times I'll ask a leader, are you developing your team, or do you just hope they'll get better? And I tell them, hope's not a strategy. Hoping somebody's going to get better, not going to get them better. So now think about this. With trust, things happen fast. Without trust, things happen slow. If at all. Sometimes because there's no trust, nothing happens. If there's high trust, things happen fast. And you think about that relative to what your mission is. What kind of stuff's going on out on your team in the day-to-day grind? And again, it's about them trusting each other, speed. And actually, let me say this. I remember one of my favorite things from the Speed of Trust book by Stephen M.R. Covey. He talks about, and it's true. I mean, it's kind of the foundation of what the Trust book is about, his Trust book. But basically what he says is, and it relates to this quote right here, and I'll say the quote again, make sure we caught up. With trust, things happen fast. Without trust, things happen slowly, if at all. So what Stephen M.R. Covey says is, when trust goes up, speed goes up, and costs go down. Or right the opposite. When trust goes down, speed goes down, and costs go up. So when you put on your manager hat and look at trust, why is it so important? It's because of costs. The less trust there is, the more it costs to operate the business. Because I promise you, when people are going slow, that's time. Everybody knows it's cliche, but time's money. When there's high trust, things are happening at a high pace. Communication is better. Low trust, communication ain't so good most of the time. But you think about that relative to trust, but think about it in the context of cost. Leadership, a leader sees it, high impact leader sees it, the cost of their influence. Because that's huge. And even that, it's costing money if you stick your manager hat back on. Managing things and processes. Things and processes get all gummed up when there's low trust. So think about that concept a bit. So with trust, relationships grow. Without trust, relationships slow. Relationships are either growing or slowing. There's no, we just gonna hang tight right here for a while. Not how it works. Every relationship is always strengthening or weakening, growing or slowing. And as a high impact leader, it's your job to grow and develop trust on the team. Even with the people you don't like and the ones that don't like you, guess what? They're costing you money. They're lowering the morale on the team. They're causing you frustration. They're frustrated. Teammates are frustrated. High impact leader's job is to eliminate frustration. So this is a big one. With trust, we always know. Without trust, we never know. With trust, we always know. Without trust, we never know. You can think about that in your professional relationship with the boss or your team, or in your personal life with whoever it is you hang out with and do life with. Could be a significant other or children. It's the way it works. So with trust, there's always authentic influence. Without trust, there is only artificial influence. That's why you'll hear a leader sometimes, I mean, it's kind of old, but it's common. If you want them people to do what I say, they have to report to me. That's because there's no trust, so they have no authentic influence. They only have artificial influence. And because they don't report to them means they don't have any influence. When you hear people say, my hand's tied, that means they don't have the trust that they have in whatever relationship they're talking about. When they say their hands are tied, that means they're out of trust. They maxed out. They can't do anything else. They don't have enough authentic influence to move the ball down the field. That's why positional level leaders, think back to the five levels of leadership talked about when we kicked off this series, the lowest level of leadership, leading from a level, from the position. Those folks can hardly get anything done except with those people who have to follow them and report directly to them. So I touched on this before in a different episode, but it fits right here, and I probably will talk about it a little differently than I did the other time. You can tell the same story and teach multiple things out of it. So I share a lot of the same stories because it's my life to teach different principles. So I was in Guatemala, if you remember me talking about it. I was in Guatemala in 2013 with John Maxwell, and I was part of a 150-person team that was down there to support John because we had a big mission. Our mission was to kick off the transformation, cultural transformation across the entire country of Guatemala. And actually, all of us were there. We paid all of our expenses. We paid all of, you know, the hotel, air travel, food. We paid everything. We didn't get paid to be there. We all paid to be there. Over 150 of us. And it was a privilege to be there with John and be on that mission. He was leading it and we were helping him. And I was mentored by John a lot between 2012 and 2015. And I've read his book for years before and after that, and videos and audios and that sort of stuff. But I went through a lot of training with him. And then this was one of the things Rhea, my wife, and I had the privilege of doing was going down to Guatemala in June of 2013. And together, all of us trained over 20,000 Guatemalan leaders in just 3 days. We were there for a week. We had to learn what we were going to be teaching them in the beginning of the week. And then we had a three-day blast where we all of us had at least 50 or more people a couple of times a day for 3 days. And we'd take them through a half-day session workshop on really what's called how to facilitate a roundtable event. And they were all going to go cascade that out. Each one of those people were going to cascade what we were teaching them how to do through 6 to 10 people. So it was massive. We had the privilege of being with John and the president of Guatemala inside the presidential palace. And those two were up on a big stage and broadcast out to on live national TV, talking about cultural transformation and that sort of stuff. So it was a really cool week. But we talked to the leaders at every level. John was actually there with the president and his staff teaching the same stuff we were out teaching. So I want to share a story about intention, trust, humility from one of the training classes I was in. On that particular day, I had a room full of 50 business executives, pretty much CEOs or business owners. One day I had a group of 50 pastors. Another time I had 50 like city mayors and their staff and things like that. So Rhea had a business owner and his staff had a company, you know, usually it was always about 50 people. It was a big company. One day she had about 50 executives in a certain big banking business, but people were dealing with leaders all over that country. But that day I had a room full of 50 executives and I was speaking on much of what I've covered with you so far in this series. And I had mentioned one way to build trust is to acknowledge your weaknesses with your team and let them know your intention is to improve. That was kind of the point I was making. And think about that for a minute. Wouldn't you like that from your boss? You know, I ask you to look up sometimes and sometimes look down, and I'm kind of talking about, you know, figuratively speaking, the organizational chart. When I say look up, I mean look at your boss. When I say look down, I mean look at those people who call you boss. So wouldn't you like that from your boss? Wouldn't you like them to acknowledge their weaknesses to you and let you know their intention is to improve those weaknesses? Would that build trust or distrust? Guess what? Your team, when they look up, they'd also like to see it from you. if you have humility, this is an easy thing to do. If you have too much pride and ego, it'll be difficult. So this is just one little tiny test out of a bunch of different things. There's millions of things that either build trust or create distrust. But just think of this one thing: identifying your weakness to your team and tell them you want to work to improve on it. You got them, I promise you. I got them. Everybody's got weaknesses. It takes a high-impact leader to say, I know I have them, and I want to work on them, and I'm going to tell y'all what they are so you'll know that I know. If you can't do that, not willing to do that, that's character issues inside of yourself. So at the end of the training session, I was asked, after I had said that, talking about sharing weaknesses, kind of like I just shared that with you. At the end of the training session, I was asked by one of the executives. He raised his hand and stood up and he says, why should I tell my team my weaknesses? Wouldn't it be better if they didn't know? Telling them will make it harder for me to lead. He's kind of asking that question. I said, sir, you obviously have a false assumption. You assume your team doesn't already know your weaknesses. And then I asked this question, and I'm asking it to you right now, but I was asking it to the whole room then. Do you know your boss's weaknesses? I guarantee you, you know them. If you got pen and paper, you can start writing them down right now. You don't even need time to think about it. You probably could tell me that every boss you've ever reported to, you probably could tell me their weaknesses right now without any preparation. Didn't even know the question was coming. Absolutely. And here's another question. Did he or she, your boss, have to tell you what their weaknesses were for you to know them? Absolutely not. They already know them. I mean, you already know them. Your team already knows your weakness. Telling your team lets them know you know your weakness too, and that you care about improving in those areas. That's going to build trust, but that ain't enough. Once you do that, now you got an opportunity. Just telling them is going to build trust because they already know your weaknesses. Now they're going to know that you know them, which is a pretty big deal, because until you tell them, they don't really know if you know you have those weaknesses. So now you got an option to either build trust or create distrust. If you improve, you're going to build trust. If you don't, you're going to create distrust. But they already know the weakness. Telling somebody your weaknesses does not in any kind of way cause you to be seen as a weak leader. Because that takes courage and humility, and those are strengths. What's the opposite of that, or even worse, is when someone may share that you have a weakness and you go in defend mode. You get all sensitive and defensive, maybe angry. That's like totally the other side of what I'm talking about doing, but it's common in leaders who need to grow and develop themselves. So I'll share a quote with you here by Amy Cuddy, and then we'll wrap today's episode up. Amy says, a warm, trustworthy person who is also strong elicits admiration. But only after you've established trust does your strength become a gift rather than a threat. One more time. A warm, trustworthy person who is also strong elicits admiration. But only after you've established trust does your strength become a gift rather than a threat. If you're a strong person, you're a threat to people. But if they trust you, you're a gift to people. So how does your team see you? I'm going to tell you, I promise you, I know what's going to determine how they see you is your character. And it also has something to do with their character, but you can't control that piece. But you can influence the development of their character if your character is developed well enough. You're going to attract who you are to your team. If you've got a bad team, maybe you think they're not where they need to be. They're not who they need to be. You're kind of frustrated with the team you have. Leadership truth right here. You better go look in the mirror. Who you are attracted that team. who you are attracted those folks and repelled other people, especially if you've been doing it a long time. And if you just got promoted and you inherited a team, that's a slightly different situation. But it's going to become that situation as time passes, because that's simply how life works. You want a better team? You got to get better. You want better people around you in your personal life? You've got to get better. This stuff I'm talking to you about, it's all about leadership and leading a frontline blue-collar workforce, or leading anybody at any level. It doesn't matter. You might be the CEO listening to this. You may have a team of C-level leaders that you're leading. These principles apply the same exact way from a CEO to the CFO and COO and CTO and all those C-level guys. These same principles apply between those relationships, just like it would apply to a team leader and four welders in a welding department. Or a superintendent out on a job site with six or eight electricians doing electrical construction work. It doesn't matter. These principles apply between people. And I'm trying to talk to you about them in the context of boss and worker and leader and follower. Boss and worker means I manage people and people follow me because they have to. That's the boss-worker relationship. And then leader-follower is I'm a leader of people and people follow me because they want to. Two different kinds of relationships. And you can be having both types of relationships with different people at the same time. You could have both types of a relationship with the same person at different times, depending on what the mission is, what's going on, what the situation is. Constantly, this stuff's constantly changing. That's why you won't never learn enough of it, because everything's changing. People are changing, you changing, situations are changing, the mission's changing, everything's changing. That's why you have to be on top of this stuff as much as you can for the rest of your life, and it's still going to be quite a bit of struggle. And one reason is because hardly anybody else is on the mission, meaning growing and developing themselves. So you got to navigate this sea of chaos out there while you're learning and everyone else is not learning. It's kind of be like you learning math and nobody else is learning math. You constantly got to be doing the work and helping solve math problems. Anyway, go wrap it up today. And also, if you follow on Anchor podcast, I'm going to start releasing these episodes at 5 a.m. instead of 6, because I told everyone I was going to release them at 6, which I was doing, 6 a.m. on Fridays, Eastern time. But the thing is, they don't publish out on Apple Podcast and Spotify and those other ones. There's a delay. So I'm going to back up to, I'm actually releasing the podcast on Anchor at 5 a.m. Eastern time. But then some point after that is it releases. I have no control over that when it actually publishes and releases out to all the different, I think there's 11 podcast platforms. So anyway, it'll be early on Friday mornings. So I'll talk to you next Friday. Have a great weekend.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit bluecollarleadership.com to learn about Max books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.